Good evening. Talk Radio.
It's time for Breaking Chain's new show, History Talk, with Dr. Lavert Kemp. So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
Good evening, everyone. It is my prayer that all is going well with everyone this evening. I would just like to say in the Hebrew tongue, Shalom, which means peace. Peace be unto you. I know sometimes we hear the Muslims say the word Shalom, but that's the same term that the ancient Hebrew used when Jesus said the word Shalom. He simply was saying peace. And I'm calling peace out to you this evening. God bless you and keep you as my prayer. I'm starting off again, as I always start, about present day things that's happening in our world today. And from an African-American perspective as well, just a citizen of the United States of America, we're faced with, first of all, I want to just give my deepest sympathy to those who have lost loved ones to COVID-19. I also would like to take this time just to talk to the ones who and ask that we would come together and pray for those who have loved ones who are hospitalized or sick fighting COVID-19, and just pray for peace and Christian love all over the world, not just America, but all over the world. Because the Bible says the rich and the poor meet together, and God is the maker of us all. And so with that said, that he is for all of us, we should not have any hatred. But I'm going to talk about it just today. We hear so many things come about our president who have Sean, Dr. Fauci, and all the other who are professionals in the field. And he Sean their advice for a person that know very little about anything. I'm not a fan of his knowledge concerning disease. And he's sharing that knowledge, and I was seeing on Facebook they had this analogy that President George Bush killed Saddam Hussein, and President Obama killed Osama bin Laden. But they said that our 45th president, President Trump, he killed over 156,000 Americans by him being late, by his non-attention to what the epidemiologists, the CDC, had to say about disease control. And even when he took office, he took apart different things that President Obama had about infectious disease control. He even had people that were working out of China that could have gave us advance notice. But this man who has so much hatred in his heart for President Barack Obama, and who trying to do away with all the mass accomplishments that President Obama has accomplished, who has told over 20 plus thousand lives and going on 4 years. This is the man who was elected as our president to all the embarrassment of the world, not just America, the whole world. America really is the laughingstock of the world today. They don't want him in Germany. They don't want him, and Britain won't allow him to come to Parliament. Merkel. If you go to our other allies, he's making enemies out of all our allies. He lies so much. Mexico is going to pay for a wall. And he said that the virus would be gone in a day, a couple of days. And he told us for this, and now he's having school to open up with the COVID-19. It's really on an upswing in 15 different states. Also, in Florida, it's breaking records by the days. And I'm just so confounded that the GOP, the Republicans, are not stopped to it. Which the Senate, if the Senate and the House come together, they can put a stop to what he's doing. But they're so busy following behind him, and they're allowing him to destroy a country. I would like to just say that President Obama inherited a country in a depression. But after 8 years, he had brought us out of depression, saved the bank, saved Wall Street, saved the housing, the way the lending companies, lending companies for purchasing housing, the automotive industry, he saved that. He had the job rate soaring back up. And he brought us so far, and he brought us out of the recession we were in. Yet, our liar president have said that he didn't do anything. And yet, so many people of the other persuasion are whites. So many whites will say that he didn't do anything. And that's so far from the truth that he wasn't a good president. He was respectable. He was smart. He was intelligent. But now we have a dummy. And I'm saying this, a dummy, with all respect due to him. My mother always told me, you call a spade a spade. He don't respect men or women. He's a misogynist. He's a bigot, a xenophobic. He hates other races. And he hates whites. He hates poor whites. He hates everybody but himself. If you can't give him money, he don't care anything for you. And I don't know why so many people are following him, knowing he really don't care for them. He told so many people in Kentucky and Virginia, up in the hill country, that he was going to save the coal mine. It never panned out. Coal is a dinosaur. And when I say a dinosaur, it's Stone Age fuel. We have solar, we have wind power, and we have petrochemical that we use for fuel. Oh, if you want to say petrochemical, fossil fuel. But we have all these different things, and he fooled these people to vote for him. He could bring it back. Never telling us that his daughter have businesses in Japan. He's bargaining for business in Japan. We have a president that's treasonous. We have a president that have sold America out to Russia. And no one finds it strange he can say nothing bad about Vladimir Putin. Everyone know that Putin is an ex-KGB agent. He run Russia with an iron hand, and that's the way the president is trying to do, by putting federal troops in the different Oregon and Seattle and other places. He's trying to imitate him. Now, we look at this from the perspective of, this man is not to be trusted. Every president before him, no one ever was sucking up, acting like he was some girlfriend to Vladimir Putin. They stood up to him, they kept him at bay, and they let him know what they would do. But not this president. It's something that he have on him. people are dying in America at an alarming rate. And this guy had the audacity to say, when he was talking about people's lives, people are losing children and mothers and fathers and grandchildren to die. And this man, with not a sympathetic bone in his body, made a statement, it is what it is. In other words, he really don't care. We need to come out in numbers and vote. And I'm saying this to the GOP. It is what it is. This man is not presidential material. This man is not even fit to change a diaper. This man is not fit to even work flushing toilets. This man is not worth it. And why are you bagging him? And the very same people he talked about, their wives and their fathers, and he talked about them, and they kiss up behind them like they gay, or they're not gay, but like they're softies, little soft wimps. Let them talk about them, say all kind of matter of things, and the curse words and the different platitudes that he's saying is not presidential at all. Now, we're going through some time, and the time I'm thinking that sometimes your blessing come in disguise. I've seen more whites participating in Black Lives Matter. I've seen more professional millionaire athletes participating. They're kneeling down. The moment you take down white, you take down these Confederate statues, white say is history, and then you taking away their rights. Well, you take away their First Amendment rights. You take away that, they take away that from them. You're taking away rights from them and things. But now the thing about this is, you put these statues up, the statue was treasonous. Calling, you know, if we go out and protest, then you find fault. Colin Kaepernick exercised his First Amendment rights, and he was blackballed from pro football for exercising his rights. But whites could easily say, we exercising our rights. Well, in essence, I understand that when the Constitution was written in 1776, that we were still slaves and we didn't have rights. What you're trying to make it remain that after we were freed from slavery, Emancipation Proclamation was issued, and we still don't have those rights 155 years later. And I want to say this, and I pray that white America hear me. I'm tired of hearing it takes time. I get very irate. I get very, very upset. I resent hearing that term. It takes time. 155 years for you just to decide to treat a people fairly. 155 years it takes for you not to pay reparations for people who free labor built America. People are not fools. You hated us then, and most of you hate us even to this day. White supremacists, okay. That's who did a whole most of the looting was started by white supremacy. And that's been found out that that's who started off the rioting and the looting, were white supremacy planted just to turn the country against the black protesters. That's the way it works here in America. If anything, it should have been disbanding the Klan or the skinheads. These are terrorist groups, but they never disband them. Let blacks get together and say, oh, it's the Black Panthers. Been There, a terrorist organization. Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization. Antifa, a terrorist organization. What is the Klan? What is white supremacy? What is neo-Nazi? What is the Aryan Brotherhood other than a terrorist organization? So this group that could proudly state, the Klan could proudly state, we have a finally have a president that's on our side. And before I really go into the lesson and start speaking on certain things, I want to say it really, really, I said it, and oftentimes I look at the different campaign and areas that our president go and he campaign, and out of these six black folk that follow him, these sick people who Herman Cain died following a bigot, these sick black people with little understanding allow this man to talk about them to their face. This man made the statement that he would tell him, suburbia, don't worry about the low-income housing coming to suburbia. In other words, he was saying, don't worry, I'm not going to let the blacks come where you are. We're going to piss them out. They're not coming where you are. We know what it is. See, what gets me is we are so busy partying. We're so busy playing games. We're so busy watching sports. We're trying to be so busy being sanctimonious until we know godly good to one another. God would not have you to be ignorant concerning these things on this earth and allow evil to prevail. Evil is what have been perpetrated against the African American race in America. For 400 years, this is evil. But we allow it because we're always going to have some handkerchief head, I call them a handkerchief head, black person, that will follow behind people that hate them. When did you get the idea that you have to satisfy people who hate you? When did you think that your culture is no good? When did you think that who you are is no good? When did you think that Africans are savages? When did you think that Mexicans are savages? Where did you get it that the indigenous people in America are savages? Well, where did that come from? Well, I'm glad that somebody wanted to ask me that question. It came from savages. I would submit to you this. Those of you who are following this man, figure out what that meant when he said that he wasn't going to allow low-income housing to come to suburbia. We know everywhere blacks move where whites live, they move out, called white flight. They move further and further away because they don't want to be bothered with you. When are we going to get tired and build our own subdivision and say, go live where you want to live? And why don't we come together and not follow them and say, we're going to do a Black Wall Street. We're going to build up our own. It's time that we get some independence after we put almost $1 trillion a year into the United States economy. And we don't get none of the highly end. We get very little bit back. Very little we get back. This is what we're going through now. We have our people sitting there begging a man who's talking about them, talking about the Mexicans. Why don't the Mexicans or the Hispanics, the Native Americans and the black form a voting bloc and come together and vote this man out and vote and get rid of his followers, those who are in the GOP who's begging him with his evil deeds. Get rid of them. Come together. When are we going to wake up and understand who we are and whose we are? We don't have to imitate or assimilate white culture. Let me explain something to you. I haven't got to this yet. I'm going to do a big, long talk on it when I get to it. Why? And why I said that, because it's so important that we need to ask ourselves, why are we taught a lie in history? Why are we taught a lie about Africa? Why are we taught a lie about Egypt? Why are we taught a lie about the Holy Land, what color the people were? The Holy Land wasn't Eurocentric. It wasn't Europeans in the Holy Land during Jesus' time. Whites didn't live there. Caucasians, Europeans did not live there. But why is the white Jesus? Because he's the Son of God, and we didn't want to portray the Son of God looking like them. Let me ask you a question. Well, I'm asking everybody that's listening. If a person would come to your house and kill everybody in your house, maybe keep one of your daughters or one of your sons, take all your land, all your food, take everything and kill off the people in your house and take your house and then write a report up that you are a savage. That's how America was found. A savage group of people came from Europe, killed off the indigenous people, did a genocide, killing them, raping them, burning their villages. The same people who helped them to survive won us. The same people who reached out to help them and put them on little bitty parcels of land. They said it might have been from 70 to 100 million Indians, excuse me the expression, not Indians, but Native Americans in the Americas at the time when the Europeans came here. I don't think we have a good one point. I don't know if we have a million pure-blooded Indians here today and put them on reservation, put Indians on reservation, which the country belonged to them. Lied to them, slaughtered the Indians. But the Indians were savages. No, the savages were the people who came over and slaughtered them and then went over to Africa and kidnapped, raped, burned, brutally beat, branded, home of sexual acts, all kind of things were perpetrated against Africans, brought to the Americas, sadistic. This was how America was settled. Why don't we tell the truth? A bunch of savages came and robbed and pillaged and stole the country, enslaved the people, and worked them until they built the greatest nation on this earth today. Was built on free slave labor. That's right. It's true. And their inventions and their discoveries. Quit showing wagon trains being led to California and Oregon led by white people. Tell the truth who did it. Tell who really was the one who found the past. Stop saying that you're the first person to go to the North Pole. Tell the truth who was the first person to set foot there. Chicago. Tell that you wasn't the first people to come to the Americas. Tell the truth that the Moors had been there. Africans had been there thousands of years before 1492. Africans had been there. They called Olmec people. OL-MEC. Olmec. Tell the truth. So all these lies that are perpetrated and brainwashed in the schools today, and that's why I know that as African Americans, we need to teach our children the truth. Let them know. I tell children the truth. Look, when you go to school, do as what your teacher teach you. But I'm going to teach you the real history. So you will know, and I'm going to let you know that that's a bunch of bull from the pits of hell, what you're being taught. A person cannot come and discover a place that somebody, you have millions of people already living. You can't come to a country already settled and take the people land, rape them, kill them, give them disease, and then say, you, this your country, and you settled it, and you did this, and you didn't build the country. Tell the truth. It was built off of slave labor, free labor, cotton, indigo, tobacco, sugar. That's the main economy of America in the 1700s and 1800s. That's what built America. Who built the railroads? Blacks. Even the Panama Canal was built by blacks. They went and brought slaves over to work, even in all out in the island, the Caribbean and the Caribbean island. That's who manned the sugar cane. Matter of fact, more slaves were came to Brazil, around Brazil, than came to the Americas. About 52 million came to Brazil. Brazil had a population of roughly about 52 million blacks, African of descent, and America had 48 million. It's something, and then you have blacks in Canada. You have maybe a million in Canada, a million, 1 million in Mexico, 1.2 million in Canada, 8 million over in Europe, in the European countries. We're all over. And then counting Africa with over a billion people. So we're all over. Don't let somebody tell you this. It's time that we quit all this studying, quit all these video games, and quit killing one another, and come together as a people and teach our children. Teach them their history. Let them know that dark skin is beautiful, that all people are beautiful, that to be beautiful, you don't have to look like you're Caucasian. And I want you to understand this. In Europe, the people were never called white. The first time people were called white people was when they were in America, and that was 1681. That's where that term white people comes from. To separate them from the indigenous people and the slaves, and to make the poor whites that they were working to death, because the poor white and the slave was about to join together and form a coalition, so they had to separate them, so they told them there was more than the slave. So that's your supremacy that came up, white privilege. You're better than them. But at the same time, you're below the man that owned the plantation. You're below the man that owned the industry, wherever the manufacturer. The manufacturers and the plantation owners kept poor whites fighting against poor black slaves and poor blacks. And even to the day, it worked. Donald Trump had some of the poorest of poor whites begging him. And if they only knew, they'd take the side of the African American and put an end to all these trillions of dollars that people that are president giving tax breaks to the rich. And you, and then all of us, we get taxed 33%. They get taxed 12%. You don't make $30,000 a year, but you paying 33% of your money going to tax. Less than 12% of theirs are going for tax. It's time that we wake up, and it's time that white America wake up. It's time that white middle class wake up and find out that the rich is getting rich and the poor is getting poor. Sooner or later, it's not going to be a middle class. You're going to be either rich or you're going to be poor. And by the way, and I hope that many, many Caucasians are listening. Not going to call you white people, but Caucasians. There are more Caucasians on welfare than African Americans. You do your own statistics. That's just something pet to say to make you think that you're more than black, and which you're not. You have more, you poor, than blacks. because you outnumber us. We only make up 13%. Per capita, we have more poor. Per capita, we have more on welfare because you play systemic racism. I found out that, and I laugh sometimes, that would sometimes come on Facebook. And it had a saying that says that white people started calling blacks lazy when they found out they had to pay you. Long as you was in slavery and they could beat you, they wasn't complaining. But they complain now because they have to pay you. So that's some things that we need to discuss with our children. And we need to start listening for our history. We need to learn something about ourselves so we can be proud of who we are, where we come from. We need to be proud about the Bible. We need to find out what part we play in the Bible. You're all, look, African-American, black, you're all over the Bible. And by the way, there's so many black Hebrews, black Hebrew Israelites. You're all the way through the Bible. You don't have Caucasian. All you have to do is read Genesis, the 10th chapter, and it will tell you, or go to Zondervan Compact Bible Dictionary, and they'll tell you the definition of Ham is the progenitor of the dark race, meaning African race, and they say Ethiopia, Egypt, Libya, and Canaan. Canaan is the Holy Land, Jerusalem. Egypt, which is Metharim, which is Egypt. Now, since skyscrapers were built by black people, Africans, and these skyscrapers, which are called pyramids, now they make the people white. When they went to redo the picture, was fading in pyramids, they painted them white. They whitewashed the picture, knowing that whites were never there at that time. And they gave them, they said, the name is Ham. The name Ham means ebony. It means black. It means brown. It means dark. That's what the word Ham. And the name for Ethiopia was burnt face. You know how something looks when it's burnt? But since the Arabs kind of blend in with some, they lighten up a little bit. They're really Nubians from the Sudan. Everybody in the Sudan is not pitch black. The darkest people in the world mainly come from the Sudan and the Sudan. But all people, Sudanese, or people from Sudan are not black. You go there, you're going to find that they have brown skin. That's something, too. I'm going to go, and I need to really break this down to you guys because it's something that you really, really need to know. And anthropology is the study of man. Mankind's origin started in Africa. Now, when mankind started in Africa, millions of years ago, it started in Africa. And they found fossils in the southern part of Ethiopia, which is right at the Sudan, the border of Sudan, which is Nubia. And it was Donald Johanson and Tom Gray found a partial skeleton of a lady named Lucy. And it dates back to 3.18 million years ago. She was a black lady. And then you have another anthropologist named Louis Leakey, and you have his wife, Mary Douglas Leakey. Now, she was looking, and she found, she did a paleontologist, but they discovered the first fossil of proconsul. It was a skull. It's extinct. But it was an ape. And with this ape that they found, they was saying it looked like it was crossing over to be a human. But then they went and they began to, and they called this this discovery, they call it zenzanthropy. And that word zenzanthropy means East Africa. That's where civilization started from. And guess what? It really go along with the Bible. Some people say, no, they say the Holy Land, that the world was started around a rock, around the Tigris River and the Tigris and the Euphrates River. And that's true. But they also say the Gihon and the Pishon River. The Gihon and Pishon is the Nile River. One is the Blue Nile and one is the White Nile. It encompasses the land. The Bible says it encompasses the land of Haphazard, which is Kush. That's Ethiopia. The Nile runs straight through, it encircles Somalia, Ethiopia. They call my Somaliland. It's in your Bible. But now, they talk about Louis Leakey and his wife, Mary Leakey, how they discovered the robust zenzanthropus skull in the Ode Gorge in Tanzania, in East Africa. Several archaeological and anthropological fossils of the ancient apes and ancient humans were found. And while excavating in the Ode Gorge in Africa in 1960, they was able to find different weapons like arrowheads that would date back almost like a million years. And people, and that even would refute some of the things that Darwin theory of evolution, that man came from an ape. Now, I would disagree with that too. I don't care how many degrees Harvard, Yale, Princeton, where they graduated from, Oxford, or wherever you graduated from, to say that man came from an ape. I would doubt that seriously, because I've never heard anyone else talk about grandparents, great grandparents talk about a monkey turning into a human being, or a gorilla or ape turning into a human being in a zoo. And just being sarcastically saying it, it's like one day passing by and a monkey or a chimp will say, "Let me out, I'm a human now." That never happened. So now Professor Leakey and his wife Mary Leakey discovered in Ode Gorge in Tanzania. All this is Africa, right around where they say where the Blue and White Nile are located at. These are the areas which the Bible talks about. But now it even goes even further about 200,000 years. About they found also. They found another lady who black women should be clapping their hands about. And they traced this lady's DNA. They call her maternal inheritance. Okay. The DNA in the maternal inherited mitochondria within our cells of all humans have a theoretical common ancestor. And the common ancestor that everybody has in common was a lady. And they call her mitochondria Eve, like the first lady, Adam and Eve. But they call her Eve. And they found her remains. And it was right at 200,000 years that they said she would have been in South Africa. And, they don't say she was the first human, but every other female lineage eventually must have didn't have any female offspring failing to pass on the mitochondrial DNA. As a result, all humans, now listen at this black lady, all humans, male and female, all humans today can be traced their mitochondrial DNA back to mitochondria Eve. With her DNA and that of her peers existed all the genetic variation we see in contemporary humans since Eve time. And what they're saying is every person, even to the day, contemporary people today, carry this black lady DNA. Different populations of humans have drifted apart genetically, forming distinct ethnic groups we have today. And all that, that what they're saying is when man first came into existence, everybody was in Africa, and even white anthropologists and archaeologists and others, healthcare and geneticists, say that man is called out of Africa. And what's so ironic about this is now I'm telling you this, and I want you to, you can look this up. If you find a black female, African-American or African female, their DNA genes from the maternal inheritance from mitochondrial Eve is more stronger found, is more found in her than a black woman, than a white woman, a black male or white male. It's first African-American woman because she was of African descent. Then come the black male, then come the white female because it was a maternal inheritance. And then it come the white male. And this is why it's so much stronger in blacks. The reason it is so much stronger in blacks is because whites, as they went out of Africa, they went in Europe and went through a mutation. And when you're going through a mutation, you know what a mutation is. It means that it means that a change transpired when they left out of Africa. That color change. And then that's where it gets off into when you begin to study that. Before I go into about the geneticist Mendel, I want to just say this. They also found a man who died about 315 years before the birth of Christ in South Africa. And they found out that he was the closest yet relative in humanity common to the female ancestral mitochondria Eve. They found out that he was a fisherman, and they found him, his genetics match Eve more close than anyone else. And they found him in St. Helene Bay in South Africa by an archaeologist named Andrew Smith of the University of Cape Town. Now, this DNA sequencing and all the cradle of humanity come from Africa. As I say, they had out of Africa mean that the people left, the people that we now call whites or European, all of them came from Africa. They left out of Africa and went through what you call a mutation. And when you go through a mutation, a mutation is something that spin off from something else. Now, when they went up in that cold climate, it made them go through, made whites go through a mutation, or who we call whites today are European. They went through a mutation. When they went through the mutation, their skin complexion got lighter because they were no longer in the Sahara, sub-Saharan Africa, where it was burning hot. And even if they whites would have came from around Jerusalem, they would have been of a darker complexion, because even the Arabs today have a tan complexion, or some of them are even darker. But they went through a mutation. And to be honest with you today, and I know a lot of Caucasians don't like to be said this way, but whites are more closer to what you call an albino. They went through the mutation of their skin. Now, and this is Gregor Mendel, one of the most high-rated geneticists that we have. His name Gregor Mendel, and he made the thing say dark skin or brown skin. Is a dominant gene. Light skin is a recessive gene. I mean, you know what a recessive mean a lower. Dominant means stronger, better, bigger, or whatever you want to say, something that dominates, it overrules. Brown eyes are dominant, come from dominant gene. Blue eyes come from a recessive gene. Meaning not recessive, it's not pure. And, you know, when we talk about out of Africa, it went through a mutation of the skin, and the recessive gene came about. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this. what I'm about to say now. And this is very important. You could take two African Americans or Africans, and not just African Americans, just two blacks, and you could come up with a white, an albino child with blue eyes and blonde hair. See, you could get the recessive from the dominant, but you can't get the dominant from the recessive. Two people with skin mutations or two whites cannot, two recessive gene people cannot make a dominant race of people, meaning they cannot make a brown or a black baby. Because black or brown is dominant. They could only still pass on that recessive gene because they went through a mutation. There's a thing, I laugh a lot when I watch the Kentucky Derby. When you say a thoroughbred, you're talking about a purebred horse who is separated and bred to a specific person to make that horse more pure and more able to do things. You don't find white horses in the thoroughbreds in the Kentucky Derby. 99.9% of the time, that horse is going to be brown or black. That's your thoroughbred. And that's who you are, but you don't know who you are because you've been downcast, beat down to think that you're nobody. But that's because you don't read. You'd rather go around and play sports. You'd rather go around and have a party and get drunk or get high. Never knowing who you are or what you're capable of doing, and never knowing why, you know, when the blacks were enslaved, people never wanted them to read and find out what was their true lineage or who they truly were, because you'll find out that you were smarter than those who had enslaved you. You'll find out that you had a better knowledge of astrology, agriculture. Why they had you growing crops was because you knew about growing crops. You knew about fishing. You knew about trapping. You're a hunter-gatherer in Africa. You wasn't dumb. You just didn't speak the language. All you had to be was to be showed how to do something. It was a proven fact that in Nigeria and Yoruba, they were malurgent before Europeans were malurgent. They've been had horses before the Europeans came over. They were able to fight. They had armies. They were able to make different weapons. But I want to say, I feel that in God's heart, while we're here, is about being disobedient people. If disobedience have us going through what we're going through now, it's time that we stop and learn who we are and whose we are. It's time that we pick the Bible up. It's time that we pick up history books. It's time that we pick up books and stop reading only books that Caucasians, Europeans have written. I found out that Europeans have all written things. So many of them may have did this, not knowingly know what they're doing, because it's a part of your culture. They grew up thinking that they were superior. They grew up thinking that the people in the Bible were white. And they growed up painting the pictures on the 16th chapel. Michelangelo and others, they paint their mother or themselves, pictures of themselves, and portray them as Virgin Mary or someone. All of this occurred. And when we go, we bow down to these. I just was watching something earlier. They showed, I think that's Horus, and they showed about this Egyptian goddess, Horus, had horns and how she looked. And Beyonce, on one of her concerts, she dressed that way, and we criticize her. But we don't criticize Europeans for having a picture of a white Jesus. That was only a costume. But we so easily to criticize. Once one white person criticize something that we do, we follow suit and we go along the same road. If they criticize us, we criticize ourselves. because we're not following what they say is protocol. We've never even looked at it ourselves to find out, is this so? Is this protocol? No, Jesus wasn't a Caucasian. No, Jesus didn't have any looks that way. No, Jesus' hair wasn't like that. His skin color wasn't that. His eyes wasn't like that. But that's what we'd rather hang in our houses and hang in our churches. But if a person just making money acting and put on some Osiris or Horus or whatever they call these Egyptian gods, then you talk about this young lady like she's something from outer space. All the frailties and all the transgression and iniquity that we have on us, we don't have room to talk to anyone. I know one thing we need to do, and I'm saying this, we need to start picking books up, reading about ourselves. Don't look for, see, whoever write the narrative, and when I say narrative, if you don't understand what a narrative means, a story, whosoever write the story, just like Hollywood, they write the narrative. They make every angel, every prophet, every patriarch. Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees of Mesopotamia. It was the Ethiopian civilization 4,000 years ago. So you know that means he was brown or black. But when you see him, if you see David, knowing that Rahab was a Canaanite woman and she was a Hamite, knowing that Tamar was also black, knowing that all these people that came about were black in his lineage, but you see a curly hair white guy, a Caucasian with blue eyes, and play David. Even at further with the Apostle Paul, the people thought the Apostle Paul was an Ethiopian. That's during Jesus' term. And he tell you he was a Hebrew. In other words, I'm an Israelite, I came from the tribe of Benjamin. Yes, I came from Benjamin. One of Jacob, Israel's favorite child was Joseph and Benjamin. He said that, but he said who he was. But at the same time, all you see is some funny-looking little white guy. And we read it and we go praise it. If you're Catholic, you're bowing down the statues and the Bible asks you not to do it. But then you're criticized. Beyonce. Why don't we pick our books up and read it and then learn that certain things is just entertainment. That does not necessarily mean that she believe in Horus. Horus. And if that's so, most of your presidents believe in it because they believe in the goddess, the one with the hawk head, and that's part of Horus. So don't do that. If you say that you are Mason, that's what you believe in, the master builders, Osiris, all these other gods that they have. We need to really, really do some research and study about ourselves and find out who we are. And get from in the front of the football game and the basketball game. Get from in there the baseball game. Get from in the front of that television. Put those little games down and tell your children put it down. Learn who you are. Learn some foreign languages. Learn something. That's something no one can take away from you. Knowledge is something that no one could ever take away from you. Once you put it up in that computer, which is your brain, no one could ever take it away from you. And once you know about God, I don't like to hear people say how much they love Jesus. You don't even know who Jesus is. You haven't studied enough to know who he is. You don't even know that he didn't speak Greek. You don't even know he didn't speak Hebrew. He spoke Aramaic, and Hebrew and Aramaic is a broken African tongue. So it's time that we wake up Matter of fact, the closest language to Hebrew is an African tongue, matter of fact. But we really, really need to get started. I'm just going to go and do some things in the Bible right quick for another about 15 minutes. And I want you to understand about different people in the Bible. Those who have your pencil and paper, write these names down, because I want you to know some of the people who were black in your Bible and white. The Bible is not a white man's book. And I'm going to tell you this, and you can tell any white scholar that I said this, that Japheth, which is supposed to be the white race, left and went up in Europe in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis and didn't come back until about 400 years before Christ. So you're looking at a gap over 1,000, about over 1,400 years, maybe more than 14, maybe about 17, almost close to 2,000 years, close to 2,000 years before Christ, over 1,000 years, over 1,500 years before Christ. Moses is 1,400. Yeah, so before that time, Moses, the Christ, they had been in bondage, both out. So that's 18, and then Abraham, so maybe 2,000 years before Christ. So you're looking at 4,000 years ago. So let's not allow them to mislead us. They know who you are, but do you know who you are? Why do they fear you? Why are you the most feared race of people in the world? Because they know who you are. But you don't know who you are. Why your talent exceeds all expectations? Because they know who you are, but yet you haven't found out who you are. You think that going around killing each other, talking about you're a gangster, you're a thug, wearing your pants hanging down off your backside, not going to school is going to get it. No, get your education. Learn who you are. Get your trade. Become an entrepreneur. Learn to love the young black girls. Learn to love yourself first. Because if you can't love yourself, you can't love anyone anyway. Amen. I'm going to go through this here. Now, it's important that we learn who we are. Now, I wrote a thesis, and I started dealing with different names of different individuals in the Bible. And I'm going to go through some of the ones that we need to know about when you're reading the Bible. That's why I say you need a pencil. And I'm going to be reading from my thesis when I got my master's degree. I wrote my thesis. I did all my research on African presence in the Bible, which I gained more knowledge because I wrote this in 94. But I learned more and more because I research. And I read this follows. It is important that I lay a foundation so the reader will know and be able to identify the African presence in the Bible. First, the word Ham is defined in Webster's dictionary as the second son of Noah. We find that the name Ham has been scripturally used to describe people and places. Beside the original meaning black, the name has also adopted other definitions such as dark, ebony, sunburned, chocolate, and brown. Most black scholars throughout the ages have agreed that Ham and his offspring belong to the so-called Negro family of nations. Ham and his children are recorded in Genesis, the 10th chapter, verse 6 through 20. We will find that Ham's settlement was called the land of Ham for thousands of years, and is now what is known as Egypt and Africa. You can find that in Psalm, the book of Psalms, 78, chapter, verse 58, Psalms 105, 23 through 27. You can find it in Genesis 14, chapter, verse 5, and Deuteronomy 2nd, chapter, verse 10. The student of the Bible cannot identify black people in the Bible because We are used to hearing the term Negro, Black, Afro, American, or African. The students who trace the Bible using these terms will search in vain. The basic Bible term, which is used to identify Black, African in the Bible, are words like Ethiopia, Kush, Cushite, Canaanite, Heth, Hittite, Jebus, Hush, Jesido, Cushite, Egyptian, Sheba, Havilah, Sabbathai, Wormah, Sheba. Now, it's very important that we learn that the children of Ham was Cush, Metharim, Put, and Canaan. Now, if you read these different Roman and Greek historians, according to Sir T. Fishburne and G. Massai, the Greek Herodotus and the Roman Tacitus, because of centuries of miscongenation, the Semites, including the Hebrew and Hamite blacks or Negro, were largely blended in as one race. The reader of this information is asked to view the chart below, which I have a chart showing the Amorites, the Canaanites, Cush, Cusham, and talk about the Highlander, talking about the Ethiopian, I'm talking about Libya, and you heard about Simon of Cyrene, that's Put. That's who carried Jesus' cross for him. I know you've heard about that. The father, and and then I'm going to talk about Put. Put was one of the sons, and Put is the beast about Libya. Now, Put was Ham's third son. The Bible does not mention any of his sons by name, but it is certain that he had sons from whom the Libyans or Cyrenes are descendants. These people were located in the upper northern parts of Africa, and the main city was Cyrene. In studying the Bible, we find out that the violence after Jesus' crucifixion, Cyrene carried Jesus' cross to Calvary. When Stephen tried to preach salvation in Jerusalem, a few Cyrenians and others had been stoned. Some Cyrenians who disapproved of the stoning continued to preach Christ's word in Acts 11 chapter in the 20th verse. Now, this is long before the gospel had went to Europe. The gospel had been in Africa before it ever went to Europe, so don't say that it's a European thing. Now, the European under Constantine made it be a national religious group, religious worship, but they instituted slavery and hatred. Then we say we find Cyrene were a priest during the Pentecostal period, during the day of Pentecost. That's when the church started. They were priests. Listen to Peter's instruction. Now, Canaan was Ham youngest son. Canaan fathered 11 nations. Seven other nations fell to the hand of Israel during the time of the dispersion from Babylon. Canaan did not go to Africa with the three brothers. Instead, he traveled southwest and settled which is today around Arabia. Now, Ham, youngest of Noah, was a patriarch. And Ham was not cursed. This is looking at his father nakedness. But he wasn't cursed. He said, cursed be the Canaan. From Ham, we know his ancestor was Ethiopia, Egypt, Libya, Carthage, and many tribes, northern, southern, Arab, Crete, Cyprus, Asia Minor, Hittites, and part of Israel, and Black Americans, all of some who are Hamites. Cush, which is Ethiopia. Cush was the firstborn of Ham. His sons were Havilah, and now you're going to find this where they say where the Garden of Eden encompassed the land of Havilah, Seba, Sabbathai, Ramah, Sabbatacha, and Nimrod. After God confounded the language at the Tower of Babylon, Cush and his family moved south to Africa. He settled in the northeastern portion of Africa. Cush is called the father of Cushai, meaning Ethiopia. This ancient land was ruled by many kings and queens, such as King Ra, Nashua, and Pike, Thomas III, Queen Amentura. The reign of Ethiopia during the birth of Christ was the Queen of Candace. You find that in Acts the 27th, 8th chapter, the 27th verse. Now it talks about Mizraim and the name Mizraim when you find that name. So I just gave you Cush. I gave you Mizraim. Now Mizraim was the father of Lul, Anamon, Lehaben, Naphtuben, Patharus, Calunium, Capitol, from whom we get the Palestinian from. During this desertion of Babel, Mizraim also followed his two brothers Cush and put to Africa, afterward arriving in what is known today as Egypt, populating the area known as the Lower Egypt, which was once called Mizraim. Mizraim is still an alternate name for Egypt. Egypt is called the land of Ham several times in the Bible. You'll find that mean the black land. It mean, and you'll find that in Psalm the 78th Psalm, 51st verse, the 105th Psalm, 105, 23 and 27, the 106th Psalm, 19 and 23rd stanza. Then you have Put. Put was Ham's third son. The Bible does not mention any of his sons by name, but it is certain that he had sons from whom, you know, the Libyan came from. Now, we're going to go to Canaan. Now, Canaan, the word Canaan, and now when you look at Canaan, this is where Jerusalem comes from now. Canaan was Ham's youngest son. Canaan fathered 11 nations. Some of the nations fell to the hand of Israel. We talked about that. Now, let's look at Nimrod. Now, when you talk about they fell to the inhabitants of that, in the Canaan, the most of the people talk about black characteristics in the Bible. Sodom, Hittite, Jebusite, Amorite, Girgashite, Hivite, Archite, Semanite, Arvadite, Zemarite, Amatites, who also copied and commanded the principal city of Syria. These blacks dwelt in Canaan with the Israelites for centuries. One of Jesus' disciples was a black man called Simon the Canaanite. Now we welcome the grandson of Ham. I will start with the mighty one, Nimrod. The name Nimrod, now this is black. I'm giving you all the black people in your Bible. So don't, when you read them, I gave you the name where you can find it at. Nimrod, the son, Nimrod means brave. The son of Cush, Nimrod, the mighty warrior before God. You can find that in Genesis 10 and 9. The grandson of Ham was the first man to try to build a tower to heaven. That's the Tower of Babylon. Nimrod started a gigantic tower so that he and his servant could see heaven. This ended in chaos, so God confounded their speech. This place is called Babel. Michael, 5th chapter, in the 50th verse. Babylon is called the region of Nimrod. The original Babylonians were black through the lineage of Nimrod. The Chaldeans of the city of Ur, where Abraham came from, which was located just south of Mesopotamia and to the west of Babylon, was inhabited by dark-skinned Semites. The black Babylonians and Chaldeans for centuries intermixed and became one race, language, civilization, being the father of the Hebrew, Abraham. Ancestral roots are traced back to Ur, Genesis 11 chapter. Right after Nimrod, you get to telling you there was black over black land. They tell you that's where Abraham came from. Genesis 11, 28, Genesis 15, 7, Nehemiah 9 and 7, and Chronicles 11 and 35. Ancient records and archaeological findings of artifacts found in Mesopotamia reveal that the religion, the region, and signs of Ur and Babylonian were the same language, being that of the African Ethiopian. Now, the religion and the sciences of Ur and Babylonian were the same language, being that of Africa, Ethiopian. So that tell you where Abraham came from was the same language that was spoken in Ethiopia and Africa. Then you got Sodom, you know, you hear a lot about Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom. Sodom was the first son of Canaan. During the dispersion of Babylon, he followed his father and two brothers, Heth and Jabez. Now, Jabez to the land named after his father Canaan. The land of Canaan is called Palestine today. When Israel marched on Canaan, Sodom and his offspring somehow avoided the conflict with Joshua. Their good relationship with Israel lasted until the fall of Solomon's empire. Sodom's offspring are called Sidonians or Phoenicians in the Bible. Now, I want you to understand they were black. That's where we get our alphabets from. We, you know, when we learn people how to read, you get these book hooks on phonics because it came from the Phoenicians. And they were the ones that came up with the math, the weighing scale, and monetary things to trade with the Greeks and the Romans. And later on, they passed it over to those people in Germany. They were peaceful people. They were craftsmen, merchants, and navigators. Many Sidonians were hired by Solomon to build a temple. You can find that in 1 Kings 5th chapter, verse 1 through 8. The Sidonians were also known for their wealthy colony, Carthage, in northern Africa, which for a period controlled everything along the Mediterranean Sea. It is important to know that after the Hebrew invasion of Canaan, much bitterness prevailed. This caused hundreds of thousands of black Canaanites to flee to Africa. You want to know why were so many children of Israel Canaanites to flee to Africa? Heth, now then they got Heth, H-E-T-H, was Canaan's second born during the dispersion from Babylon. Heth family divided themselves up into two groups. One group followed their grandfather into the land of Canaan, while the other group traveled to the northwest region of Asia Minor, or Turkey, as it is called today. It is uncertain which of these groups Heth journeyed with. Many centuries later, when Israel invaded Canaan, there were 4 million Hittites living in the land of Canaan. They had huge, mighty armies and high walls to protect their city during their engagement with Joshua. The Hittites were forced out of their residential area, but were never destroyed. And you can find that in Exodus 3 and 17. You could do in 23 and 8, 28, Joshua 3 and 10, Judges 2 and 3. The most popular black Hittite in the Bible was Uriah. His wife was Bathsheba. And Abimelech in Genesis 10 and 6 and 15 chapter, and 1 Chronicles 1 and 8 and 13, 2 Samuel 11 and 14, it talks about Uriah. You remember the one that David had him kill for his wife Bathsheba? He was black. Jabez was Canaan's third son and the father of the Jebusites race. During the breakup of Babel, Jabez also followed his father and two brothers, Sodom and Heth, to the land of Canaan. It is now called Jerusalem. That's where you get Jerusalem, or Israel, the land called Israel. That's where you get Jerusalem from Jabez. It is now Jabez, the Jebusites of the land of Jabez, is called Israel. While living in the land, he found a city west of the Jordan and named it, he named it, Jerusalem. That's where it came from, a black man. And First Chronicles, you can see that in Joshua 18, chapter verse 28, Judges the first chapter, 21st verse, the 19th chapter, the 10th verse, and First Chronicles, the 11th chapter, and the 4th and 5th verse. David's offspring occupied Jerusalem long before the Hebrews left the Exodus. Many Jebusites were forced out of, now they're black, were forced out of Jerusalem by Joshua when Joshua invaded Jerusalem. The city was very old. Their territory was given to the tribe of Benjamin after their defeat. Joshua permitted them to remain in Jerusalem. That's why we have, well, not we, but that's why they have some Palestinians still there. That there they began to worship false gods and intermarriage between the two races began. It was very common for Hebrew to marry Hamites. In Judges, the first chapter, 21st verse, the third chapter, verse 5 and 6. During this time, King Solomon and the Jebusites were bond servants and worked as keepers of the great temple which was built in Zion. Jabez's offspring as a race lost their identity through mixed breeding with among Hebrews. Now, this is a black race, and the Hebrew race, they're the same people. Cathar, or Cretes. Cathar was the seventh son of Mesiram, Egypt, the grandson of Ham, and the father, and they were the father of the black Philistines. During the breakup of the Tower of Babylon, Cathar and his offspring traveled to the island of Crete, but were later forced off the island by a ruinous change in the earth, talking about an earthquake. They then migrated to Canaan, the land of their uncle, and settled southwest of the land of Canaan land. They built the city called Gaza, Ashan, Ashkelon, Ekron, Gittite, and Avite. For many years, each of these cities were governed by an axis lord. You find that in Joshua 13:3, 1 Samuel 29 and 7. Joshua entered Canaan. Three of the Philistine strongholds were seized by the tribe of Judah. However, the Philistines were never destroyed by Israel because of their great warriors and their advanced weapons of war. Chariots with iron, sceptre, and then you can find that in Judges 1, first chapter, verse 18 and 19. The Philistines remained prominent and powerful throughout the Davidic and Solomonic Empire. Many of them even married into the Hebrew race. Nehemiah, the 13th chapter, verse 23. Many West Africans came to be of the tribe of Judah and worshiped in the manner of the Jews. The most popular black Philistine in the Bible are Deliah and the giant Goliath. In 10 and 6, Genesis 10 and 6, 13 and 24, Judges 16, chapter verse 1 through 31, Samuel, 1 Samuel 17, 23 to 24. Now, I'm going to do this last one. It's called Dan and Sheba. Now, Dan and Sheba were also great-grandsons of Ham and the grandparents of the Arabian race, or the Arab race, that lived in the northern and southern region of Arabia. There are three centuries of settlements in the Arabian Peninsula. The children of Dan and Sheba were joined by the grandson of Shem. Then there occurred extensive acts of interbreeding between two races, that the descendants of Sheba settled further south. This is the same country which the Queen of Sheba, famous during the time of Solomon Empire. The Black Cushites were the first race to settle the country of Arabia. Over there in Saudi Arabia, first person to settle that were Black Cushites, were the inhabitants by two different races, the Cushites, the Dan, Sheba, and Rama, who all were direct offspring of Ham's son Cush and Semite. So we're going to stop right here tonight and ask if there are any questions that need to be asked. And we're going to take off from there. But I wanted to give you different names of different individuals in the Bible that you could trace and find exactly who they are. And by tracing these people, you'll be able to know where we stand in the Bible. Because so many of us feel that we don't have any, we didn't play any role in the Holy Bible, so it's the white man book. But it's directly the opposite. Really, it's the black man book. The white man that stole your book, and you don't know who you are. So it's time that you begin to learn what the Bible really do teach you. It tells you who you are, but it don't say this person was black, this person were African or whatever. But it'll tell you the Hivite, the Hittite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, the Jebusite, the Hittites. It'll tell you names like that, Cush, Put, Metherim, Canaan. It'll tell you things like that. And when you do that, it's incumbent upon you to know who the people are, because you have a lineage or a heritage from those people. Amen. We thank God. We now just open up for some questions.
Amen. 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 God bless you, Dr. Kim. Thank you for that powerful show. We'd like to open up the line right now. If anyone's out there listening would like to ask Dr. Kemp any questions, got any comments or statements, the line is open for you now. God bless you. Anyone want to ask any questions? Go ahead. Okay, Dr. Kemp, no one has any questions for you tonight, so do what you need to do. Don't forget to join us tomorrow night, y'all, Wednesday. Men and women of God come together, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Dr. Kemp will be there after Bible study, so we look forward to having you tomorrow night. It's all yours, Dr. Kemp.
Amen. God bless each and every one. I pray that it was something said or something done within this history lesson that told you more about yourself, gave you more knowledge of African American, about Black Hebrews, Israelites, about the origin of the Bible, and those things that haven't been taught to us because of some racist people or supremacy reason that they haven't been taught. And if I just want to be honest, it's because of supremacy. The reason why it haven't been taught is because of white supremacy. You want me to be just direct with you, It's all because of white supremacy. It has nothing to do with miswriting a book. It's all because of white supremacy. If you tell a white person that Jesus was not Caucasian, you would have a big time argument with them, knowing that in that part of anyone knows geography, they did not have whites in the area at that time in that part of the world. Even the Bible says that they left out of the Bible and went up in Europe. So it's one of those things, and so we need to know more about who we are. And not, I grew up thinking that, I never forget, I think I was in around junior high school, and I had the Muslims, black Muslims had started coming around, and we would go to their temple, and they would tell us that the Bible was a white man's book. And they even had me saying it sometimes, until I began to really study and find out that what you're telling me is counterfeit. What you're telling me is counterfeit because the Bible teaches, you talk about Ishmael. Ishmael is the father of the Arabs. Ishmael came from some black people. And that they got blacks all through the Bible. So now, when you're doing your studying, look it up and don't be misled by any Muslims or any other ethnic groups or religious factions. Do the study yourself. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us to study and show ourselves approved unto God, that a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I beseech you, my brother, that we begin to study to show ourselves approved to God and learn who we are. And I want to say this before I pray ourselves out. I just want to applaud Reverend William because he makes sure that you stay abreast of what's going on in the world today, your history, the history of the Bible, and then he addressed different issues from a Christian standpoint. He even gave different messages. So tune in, support him, bag him. He's truly a man sent by God, and he's truly a friend of mine. So I just want to let him know God bless you. Continue doing what you're doing. God knows Amen. Everything that you do, and I pray that he gives you your desire of your heart. Heavenly Father, we come in the mighty name of Jesus. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Amen. God, for all that was said and all that was done. We thank you, Lord, and we pray that someone was reached. Someone learned something about the Bible. Someone learned something about their history. Someone learned something about what's going on in this world today. Someone learned something about the politicking that's going on in the world today. Now, Lord, I ask that you would bless those families who have family members who have passed on and went to the other side from COVID-19. We ask a special blessing, Lord, upon those who have relatives or family members or friends who are being hospitalized by COVID-19. Lord, I pray for our president and I pray for all our leaders. Lord, I pray for him because he's not a good leader. I just pray, Lord, that you would change his heart and change his mind, that he would do better in leading people and showing love and compassion for everyone, and that he's not a stiff-necked, racist bigot, that he would learn to live and stand by the people of the United States of America and do what's good for the people and not himself. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would bless our homes and make our homes homes of love, homes of peace, and homes of prayer. Now, Father, build us up where we are torn down. Strengthen us where we're weak. Lead and guide us, Lord, in the way you would have us to go. And, Lord, we pray that you would make us more like you. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless Reverend Williams and his
yes.
vision that you've given him. And Lord, bless each and everyone that's listening at my weak voice, that you would bless them. Lord, we ask that you would just yes. give us what we stand in need of. We praise you and we uplift your mighty name. We ask all these blessings in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless
you. Amen. God bless you. All right. Thank you, Dr. Kemp. We'll see you tomorrow night, everybody. Dr. Kemp, he loves us. We love him, and we love all of y'all. And as Dr. Kemp saying, nothing you can do about it. So we'll see you tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Have yourself a blessed evening. Good night, everybody. Good night, Dr. Kemp. Night. Love you, sir.
Good night. God bless you.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're family. We are dying.
We are dying.
They are lying. Hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be. Late as I can be.
Great as I can be.
Grow with one another. Living happily.
Living happily.
But you hurting me.
Yeah. You hurting me?
Why not work for peace?
Why not work for peace?
Lying from Zion. And you're a queen. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves. Oh, 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 oh. My people, I love you.
I love you. Oh, oh.
Why we hurting?
Why we hurting?
Not yet loving.
Not yet loving.
Not yet willing.
Why
to love the world? Oh. Can you feel the grace?
Can
family?
You feel the grace?
Breathe
family.
Another day.
Breathe another day.
Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a beautiful place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey, we'll make it through the pain and rain and all the trouble by ourselves.
People, I love you.
My people, I love you. I love you, my people. I love
my
you, my
people.
I feel your pain, people. I feel your pain, people.
Monday, Breaking Chains, the special assignment, 7 p.m. Central, a show to feature individuals, businesses, organizations, and ministries about what they're doing for the community. Tuesday, Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp, a show designed to learn about our history as a people. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Wednesday, Breaking Chains with the men and women of God, discussing the issues of our community and world events. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central. Thursday, Breaking Chains with the men of valor, brotherhood, coming together to discuss issues that need to be addressed and confronted. Every Thursday, Breaking Chains, a talk show for the people to express themselves and let their voices be heard. Breaking Chains, call in and let your voice be heard at 858-357-9137 or live stream at www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, YAT Radio, or send us an email at youngadultstalk@gmail.com. It's Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Young Adults Talk is Breaking Chains. Breaking Chains. Breaking Chains.
You've been listening to History Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Thank you for listening, and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.